Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our meditation this morning comes to us from Revelation chapter 22, the vision God gave to the Apostle John of the New Jerusalem. We read, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." This is the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Imagine a friend of yours went on a long trip that they had really been looking forward to. You run into them at the grocery store on their first night back in town, and they tell you, "You just have to come over for dinner tomorrow night. We've got to tell you all about our trip." So you accept their invitation, right? You grab a couple of bottles of wine, a babka from the bakery, and you head to their place. The moment you walk in their door, they're glowing, gushing about how excited they are to see you and tell you all about their trip. Even as you enjoy dinner, they go on and on about their vacation for hours. And after dinner, they pour you a cup of coffee, they cut you a slice of that beautiful babka, and tell you to grab a seat on the couch. They want to show you some pictures from their trip. Now, a few generations ago, this probably would have meant turning off the lights and firing up that old Kodak carousel slide projector. We don't do that anymore, right? We cast it onto the big TV in the living room. But the effect is almost the same. Suddenly, all the places that they were talking about around the dinner table become a little bit more real. You see some of the sights, a fraction of the phenomenal vistas, and pieces of the paradise that your friend just returned from. Now, it wouldn't be totally strange for you to be over their trip, but you'd also recognize that that was maybe a little bit of jealousy talking, and a lot of selfishness steering you in that direction. Now, if the trip is incredible, as they say, and the pictures do it any bit of justice, a virtual tour like this makes you want to go where they went, doesn't it? The final two chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, are a little bit like that. The Apostle John was given this special vision experience of the new heaven and the new earth that God has promised to create. This new home for all God's victorious children is totally different than the world that we live in today. Chapter 21 goes to great detail on what won't be there. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. God himself will wipe away every tear from the eyes of his own people, and God's dwelling place will be among his people. The city whose builder and architect is God himself is mind-blowing. It's a city of pure gold, about 1,400 miles long, wide, and high. The foundation of this city is made of all kinds of precious stones, sapphires and emeralds, rubies and amethysts. Each gate is made of a single pearl. Even the great street of the city is of pure gold, polished to a mirror finish so that it's like transparent glass. This holy city will be quite a sight to behold, but this holy city is not just meant to be a place for us to marvel at. It is the place for God's people to live in for eternity, to prosper and flourish. God has designed and will build this city for his people. There will be no more threats or enemies or reasons to fear or worry. And in Revelation chapter 22, John takes us to the heart and center of the city of God. What we see there is so wondrous, it's almost too wonderful for us to even imagine. The cynical part of each one of us thinks that it's perhaps too good to be true. You know, with the crystal clear river flowing gently alongside a street of gold, a prolifically productive tree of life, each month bearing a bumper crop, even its leaves have healing properties, it lives and gives joy in life. But as marvelous as the great city is, with its golden street, crystal clear river, tree of life, none of these things are the crowning glory of this holy city. No, the highlight of heaven is the throne of God and the Lamb, who is the light of the city. And that's where John's eyes are drawn to, and ours. Who wouldn't want to be there? Who wouldn't want to be in a place where all the bad and sad aspects of life in this world are totally eliminated? Who wouldn't want to dwell in a place of ornate beauty and supreme safety? Who wouldn't want to live in a location where everything is new and every moment is spent basking in the beautiful light, the marvelous glory of the Lord our God? Who among us wouldn't want to go to the heaven that the Apostle John saw and stay there forever? At least that's what we say. The question is, do we really live that way? Do we really live as if dwelling with God is our highest priority? Do we really live as if heaven is the sole goal for our bodies and souls? Do we make choices that reflect God's will and purpose, that bring Him glory and joy? Do we live confident that Jesus is seated on the throne in the holy city? Is heaven your highest priority? Or as you examine your life, do you see that you make more and greater sacrifices just to go on a pretty great vacation? Do you get fixated and infatuated with the temporal things of this world? Do you prioritize time in God's word and in God's house? Or do you find yourself overly busy with advancing your own agenda at work or in retirement? Do you put the well-being of your kids' souls above their being in every activity? When you come face to face with dilemmas, do you go with your gut? Or what God has said in His word? When doing the right thing, like telling the truth or admitting that we've done something wrong or calling someone we love to repentance is hard, thankless work, or worse yet, multiplies our pain and sorrow, do you courageously do the thing that God commands, or do you act as if your God is a doting grandfather who will wink knowingly at your sins? When you come face to face with the power of your sinful nature at work in your own heart and mind, do you fight valiantly against temptation, or do you give in and pretend like you tried? Do you tell yourself that your struggles aren't such a big deal because everybody else in this world is doing far worse? When everything around you falls apart, do you still believe that God holds you and your world in His hands? Do you cling to the promises of His wisdom, power, mercy, and grace? Or do you find yourself crying out like the disciples, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" When you face the storms of life, do you look to the things and the people that God has created to sustain and save you, rather than your maker and preserver? Do you trust that Jesus will make all things new, even when it's all going to pot? Do you turn to God's word for spiritual healing? Or do you try and fix things with your own wisdom? See, John's description of heaven isn't just about what isn't there. It also includes who's not there. In Revelation chapter 21, we're told the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, and all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And the most dangerous reaction that you and I can have to this list is to deceive ourselves. And think that we're just not capable or not guilty of ever being cowardly, vile, deceitful, hateful, lustful, or faithless. No one who does what is shameful or deceitful should enter that holy city. Only someone who is brave, faithful, righteous, compassionate, and self-sacrificing belongs there. Only someone who loves the one true God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength can enter through those pearly gates. Only someone who rejoices in truth and never utters a single deceitful word can dwell in this picture-perfect paradise. And that one is the very one that we find at the very center of this holy city. The crystal clear river flows from his throne, feeding that prolifically productive tree of life. The Lamb is the one who has done away with the curse, who gives us light and life and our lives purpose and meaning and hope. This Lamb has brought healing to this world. You see, this Lamb was the one that John the Baptist spoke of. When he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this is God's chosen one." In Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. So in Jesus, you and I can see God in a way that sinners could never bear, face to face. Jesus came into this world, and he lived like none of us have. He left behind the marvelous majesty of heaven and made his dwelling here on earth, right in the middle of selfish, deceitful, vile, and shameful sinners like you and me. And yet, even though he was well acquainted with our struggles, he never gave in to temptation. He never once behaved in a vile or cowardly manner. He never hated his neighbor, though they hated him without reason. He never gave in to sexual temptation or bent the truth just a little bit to get himself out of a jam. He never doubted the plan or promises of God, even though that very plan plotted his course to Calvary's cross. Oh, Jesus was brave and faithful, righteous in thought, word, and deed. Even his enemies couldn't point to a single evil thing he had ever done. Jesus was compassionate to all kinds of sinners, no matter what they were struggling with, even when it was self-inflicted wounds. He loved the Lord, his God, with his body, his mind, and his soul. He treasured the truth, meditating on it day and night. And this Lamb of God sacrificed himself, shed his blood for shameful and deceitful sinners like you and me. See, the Lamb of God did all this to redeem us from the curse of the law. And the only way that he could accomplish that is by becoming accursed for us. So he was hung on a pole, executed on a Roman cross, so that you and I might be redeemed from all our unrighteousness. Jesus shed his holy, precious blood so that our names might be written in the book of life, so that we might one day enter that holy city. You see, only those names who are written in the Lamb's book of life can dwell in that holy city. And because of Jesus, our names are scrolled in that book. Jesus has taken away the curse of the law from us. He's done everything that is necessary for our salvation. The one who descended from heaven to become our substitute and our Savior has ascended back to his heavenly throne. He is the friend who every Sunday invites us to his home so that he can tell us all about the paradise that goes beyond anything we can picture. And he doesn't just tell you some stories or show you some pictures and leave you longing to go to some place that you can't find or afford to get to on your own. No, he says, I am going to take you there. I've paid for all your travel expenses. I'm providing for all the accommodations. Here's what Jesus told his disciples in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And I will come back to take you to be with me. And like those disciples, we will be with God forever. We will see him face to face in a way that we cannot even begin to imagine. We will stare up at the impressive walls of the New Jerusalem. We will marvel at that great golden street in the center of the holy city. We will be refreshed by the river of the water of life and renewed as we enjoy the fruits and the shade of the tree of life. We will be blessed even as we serve and worship the one true God, and we will reign alongside him, reveling in the true light of the Lord our God. There can be nothing better than this picture-perfect paradise. There can be no place that is more important, no goal that is greater or more glorious. So shouldn't our lives here on earth be centered on what our lives will be like for eternity? Shouldn't we be more focused on living as loyal servants of the Lamb of God here and now than chasing our dreams or advancing our own agenda? Shouldn't we as children of God be more prepared to deal with hardship and heartache in this life because we know that one day God himself is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes? Shouldn't we rejoice every time God invites us into his house, soaking up the living water of the Lord that he offers to us as we eagerly await the joys of eternal life in the holy city? Shouldn't we live as if we're headed to heaven? Of course. So what does that look like? Well, for some of us, it may mean restructuring our lives in a way that feels radically different. Making regular time in our schedules for devotion and worship, for growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For others of us, it may mean recalibrating our reaction to our present troubles and hardships. Instead of growing frustrated or resentful towards God for allowing bad things to happen to us, let us rejoice that these things are a part of the old order of things that God will one day do away with forever. And for every single one of us, it means running our race with perseverance because we know where the finish line is. We know what awaits us there. Our eternal destination is a holy city beyond anything that we could draw up or dream up. It's the kind of picture-perfect paradise that only God could design and do. And here's the best part. God desires for you and for me to be with him there for eternity. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly sermon podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. Once again, my name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and I appreciate your time, your focus on God's Word, the thing of utmost importance, the place where God promises us all of the things that he plans on blessing us with. If you'd like to learn more about God's plan for you, for here and now, and for eternity, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll be able to listen to past episodes, past sermons, and be able to connect with us so that we can gather together in person, face to face, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless and keep you.